Hello. This bad boy up.
Hello,
Woo-hoo.
darling.
Hello, Kara. How art
Where are
thou?
you?
Hanging in there. How are you doing?
I
These days, the how are you question is like, yeah, it's
Right.
crazy.
It's really like, how functional are you? I'll still be completely emotionally raw. Are you today?
Yeah, strange times. Anyhow, we can just get started. People who join, people who don't, we'll have the replay available. So let's start with
Super. Yay. Love it. Let's get into
Okay, so we have the bigger question, of course, that we were chatting about yesterday and today. But for you, where do you feel you need support as you're going through the process, or questions and all that fun stuff?
So I'm finding that I'm more comfortable doing the video than I had originally thought. Right? Like, it's not a big deal. Like, I don't mind hitting the record button, and I don't mind posting the things. And I'm still not smooth I don't really mind sucking at it. So, like, that's, there's no drama there. So I guess, like, my only real thing is just sort of existential, which, isn't everything existential right now, anyhow. But so, I mean, I could ask questions about how to end them better, like the videos, so that I'm not like doing my awkward like I just end everything with like, okay, bye.
That's a good question.
We just start there. We can do, I'll throw you a softball. Like, how do I stop that?
So yes, let's start there. We'll get into existential questions later. So it depends. So you have a, it's funny, you mentioned that you're not smooth at it yet. But I don't really see smooth as your brand. I don't really see
Yeah, they don't call me great.
like I think you're allowed to be a bit messy, actually. The stuff, I mean, you definitely want to be the aspirational person in some way, like of what parts of your personality you allow to shine through. But when it comes to real life, I feel like you have so much strength in allowing some of those quirks, some of those hiccups and things like that to happen. So, you may even for, say, for your Facebook lives, consider the ending, the last like moment of connection. So when you are saying goodbye, because I have had some awkward goodbyes as well, where I thought I clicked the button and I didn't, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I didn't click it, blah blah blah. But use that, there's gold in the mistakes. So I think for right now, it's not about trying to get it right or smooth or perfect, but to see what happens when it doesn't go smooth or perfect. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, totally. Especially because, I mean, I guess part of what I hate is this idea of like these life coaches and these people like positioning themselves as being like aspirational and like so airbrushed and so inauthentic in their authenticity that, but so I don't want, but I also would like to be smoother than I am.
Sure. Sure thing. So as you go along, eventually there are things like, say if you're doing a recording on just like a, not a live stream, but like a regular recording on your phone, you can have a remote control to start and stop it. When it comes to Facebook Live, it's always good to like pre, because most of these services have two clicks to end. Unless you're on the phone, sometimes it's just one. So it's number one, to make sure that you know what kind of service, what kind of ending that specific service will have. So that you're not like, if you think you have two clicks and you're like, okay, guys, and you're all set up to press the button, you're like, so great to, and then you press end, but it's not a two click thing. So it's just about really knowing first and foremost what the platform, how the platform operates, particularly for live streams. And hello, puppy. I just see a little fluffy head over there. Hello.
Yeah, he loves to be in on all the things. It's Bodie.
Where are you? There he is.
Hello, sweetheart. It's a doodle?
Yes, he is. He's a five-year-old doodle.
We lost our doodle. So Hunter was the on-camera boot camp mascot for several years. Hey, Ale. And he passed away in May, but it's nice to see there's another doodle in the program. That's so awesome. Oh, yes.
He is here. Yay. He makes all of his appearances. He likes to hang out in my office as much as he can.
Excellent. Excellent. So when it comes to the smooth factor, and you, so Ale, Kara was asking about like ending her videos more smoothly and just, I think in general, having a more of a, what's the word? A little more polished, that may be the wrong word, but a little more together in the videos. And so
I think what you're looking for is a little less spaztastic.
I am not going to encourage you at this point to lose your spaztastic. Right now, let the spaztastic just have a field day. Let it do its thing. Okay, because some of that will be related to the existential thing, you know, maybe having a little too much energy or a little too, because you're like, my family, they're gonna disown me or whatever, you know, but right. But the spaztastic is part of who you are, so don't lose it. Okay, the more you go through this, the more you'll have a sense of like what a part of it is the existential crisis, what part of it is just authentically you, and then you just kind of start to let things go as you go through the process. Okay, does that make sense?
Thank you.
On the just the practical front is for the ends of the videos is just to know what the platform does. So is it a double click? Is it a single click to end? And prep it. So as you know that you're starting to get toward the end of your video, your live stream, and you know it's a double click, you're like, okay, guys. And so you can just press that button and as you're wrapping up and don't forget to comment with blah, 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 blah. And now the final end is already on screen, ready for you to just click it.
Okay.
And what do you mean? Click what?
The end button. So when you're live streaming, there's like to end the live stream, there's like buttons and sometimes it's a double click. So you click, you're like, okay, guys, thanks for coming. Bye. And you click it and it's then another pop-up comes up and asks if you're sure you want to end it. And then you're like, oh, that's awkward. And then you click it again.
Okay.
So prepping for it as you're doing your wind down, as you're doing your final call to action and all that stuff, so that it's not that like, okay, thanks for showing up, bye, click click,
right?
You know, but even then as you allow more of your personality to come through, if that happens, because it's not so much about accidents happening, tech snafus, a windstorm suddenly showing up in your home. It's really more about how you respond to it and how you respond to it in your human real self is one of the magic things that happens when mistakes happen. Okay. So as you're getting more and more comfortable, you won't care about like how to end it more smoothly, or how to, what if I forget what I'm going to say? Like, eventually your personality starts to own being on camera, and you just handle it like a human being. So instead of being like at the end and you're like, okay guys, bye. Shoot, I forgot to click it. And you're just like sweating and you're like pressing the buttons. You're like, click, you know, freaking out because it happened. Instead of that, you'd be like, okay guys, bye. And you're like, ah, yeah. So I have to, I guess I need to turn it off. All right, give me 1 second here, guys. Click.
What was I gonna say?
So good to see you. Click. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. And I was going to say,
what about you say it out loud? You describe what you're doing. I find that gives me a lot of, takes the pressure off, because the other person that has no idea what you're clicking on, honestly, mm-hmm. I mean, they know you are assuming that you're clicking on the end, but maybe she's reaching out for a glass of water. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. So I find like, okay, I'm gonna press end right now, but you know, sometimes my finger doesn't really work that well. So it's gonna be like me being a goofball in for 2 minutes. So it's gonna be like, or for 10 seconds, and it's like, you know.
Exactly. You allow your energy to go through the moment. So instead of allowing the tech snafu to take your energy away and take your personality away, and all of a sudden you just show fear, it's really about raising, engaging the moment. Yes, absolutely. Like saying what's going on is also a great one. But allowing your personality to shine through to the end. So even if it is a mistake, I would imagine you making mistakes is one of the most hilarious things ever.
It is pretty funny. And I, like, I've led a bunch of groups before, and I've done like so many like go to meetings and stuff like that with executives and things. And my spastasticness is not something that just happened to me now. It's been with me through my entire career. Nice. So it is pretty entertaining. I don't sort of have fear or show fear around most of those things.
Okay.
I'm pretty good about my lack of smoothness in general.
Sure. And you know, there's a lot to be said for, let me back up. So your dream clients, tell me about them.
So I'm still working on some of that.
Okay.
But for the most part, they're successful women who have all of the things on the outside, mm-hmm. but find themselves still being deeply unhappy. Mm-hmm. with just their general situation in mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. right? So then they find themselves kind of overdoing and overstretching, still thinking that whatever they're looking for is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just starting to really get to the point where they're starting to say, okay, something needs to change inside. Like, I need to see how I got here and why I'm continuing to push myself this way.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like your energy, like having that spastastic, amazing, there's something about you, what's coming to my head right now, and it's not quite right, but it's like Laurel and Hardy, where like you can fumble, but it's like you get back up again. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and there's something very spontaneous in your energy as well that I think your ladies will appreciate. You know, if they have gotten into the life that they thought would make them happy and they feel like stuck in it, all of a sudden you come as like a little tornado to come around and like surprise them.
That's a good observation. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think just as we're going through this process, don't hold back, allow the spastastic amazingness to just do its thing. Okay. This is the place to experiment. This is the place to like unleash more of Kara. Okay.
Well, you've all been warned then that Kara just told me that I can unleash.
Excellent. You have my full permission. Beautiful. So does that clear up? We went a lot deeper than just like the technical side of it, but does that help with your question on ending videos and that type of thing?
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. No problem. And I know we've got your existential one we'll come back to. Okay.
All good.
Ale!
Hello. Ale has a yellow ball hanging from the sky and she has no idea what to do with it.
Yes, you have definitely have a yellow ball.
God,
do you have blinds or curtains or anything?
I do, but you know where I live? And probably
Yes.
Okay. She knows, like north of Idaho, is that sunny?
We have a little bit of sun today and I was doing a happy dance because we're very similar to Seattle.
Yeah. So it's like, I know you want to see me. And at the same time, it's like, this is one of the few opportunities that we have in January to actually have the sun come.
Then enjoy it.
I can move, but I don't want to close the blind.
No, you don't need to move. Enjoy your sun. Don't worry about the lighting. Enjoy the sun. That comes first.
It's been raining abnormally.
Yeah.
Like flooding and stuff like that, which never happens in January. I mean, it's always a crappy month, but this January has been like, holy crap.
Yeah.
A lot of water.
Yeah. We've had a lot of overcast here in Toronto and I get it. Like, I'm like, where's the sun? It's A-okay.
Well, it feels good.
Yeah. So what question do you have? What's pressing in your mind?
I gotta say, I don't really have a lot of questions at this point. All I can say is I had mentioned on the Facebook group, but maybe no, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe my sweet sheets, I have no fucking clue. But that usually my gremlins come up on the second video and mm-hmm. They did show up yesterday. Having Mafalda by my side was good. Today, it's the third video, which I haven't done yet. And I purposely didn't batch shoot because for my number one, and I know that it has probably not that much to do with the on-camera bootcamp, but it's a huge, I mean, it's helping me a lot, is the consistency of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, trying to create the habit to do it every day, to take the time every day, because batch shooting for the 1 minute videos, you know, that you are asking for, it's easy. But if tomorrow I want to have a YouTube video and I want to say actually something bigger, like more of a 10 minutes or something, batch shooting could be a reality for like two videos, you know, like I have 1 day, 60 minutes that I can do it, but you know, 5 days, I might not be able to. So I want to create that space every day to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I already didn't put makeup on today. And I know that it's not a big part of it. I understand that part, but it does make me feel like $1 million. It does. No matter what mindset, you know, I don't care. You know, it's like, it makes me feel like, oh yeah, I did it. I took the time in the morning, you know, I did it. And today I already didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because we were in the dark for 16 hours yesterday.
So
the
crazy.
Power came back at 7:30 p.m.
Wow.
I gotta say though, I enjoyed every second of yesterday. I did things that I hadn't done in forever. I had dinner to the candlelight with Daniel, you know, we had candlelight dinner. When the power went on, we were at the end of dinner and we're both like, oh my God. So I went and I turned off the light. So we kept going in the candlelight.
That's great, yeah.
Because I was enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
It was fucking freezing though. So I had thermals on and like two sweaters and inside the house with everything and my smart wool socks and, but it was wonderful. I loved it. So I didn't really sleep that well because also Mafalda is not doing. Mafalda, my dog, Kara, just Sarah already knows, but she got diagnosed with cancer 3 months ago. And we were given only 2 weeks with her, and it's almost on the 4 month. Yeah. Having said that, though, in the past 2 days, there was a development and she's not even walking.
Oh.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I fell actually on Tuesday morning. She fell off my bed and I was downstairs. So I went upstairs running and I fell. So I hurt myself. So now picking her up to take her everywhere, it's a tad more challenging. I'm a pretty strong woman. And at the same time, you know, my back is like, oh my God. So I'm sleeping on the floor in my living room on a little thing. So I want to learn. It's, I think it's perfect timing. I know, I know I don't want it to happen. And yet it's perfect timing because in life there's always going to be something. There's always something that keeps you from, and this is a skill, the consistency and the doing it is a skill that, you know, I want it to come and stay, even if like it really, something super bad needs to happen for me to stop doing it.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So my plan is after we're done, I want to go upstairs. You know, I did wash my face and put the creams and all that stuff. And I did my braids because my hair is at that point, just like probably you, Sarah.
I understand, bun.
So, but I do want to put my makeup on and my, I used my contact lenses all day long yesterday, which I'm very happy about. I still couldn't see shit, but at least I could see the timer on the phone.
Well, you know, Ale, it's all about the baby steps, you know, like the consistency, particularly like the times that we're living through right now. It's so easy to just curl up into a ball and like put a blanket over your head and be like, you know what, today I'm out. I'm out. And I have certainly, you know, and I've definitely had days like that. You know, last year when my dad passed away, which I'm still kind of in denial about, but denial's working for me. So like I needed to take a month, you know, and I needed to take a month from my clients, from social media, to just not be out there, you know. And I considered doing a video around my dad in August. And I started filming. I filmed some stuff out in nature of just trying to capture something around his essence and what loss feels like now, you know. But I did not finish it because my spirit's not ready for it, you know. I'll finish it when my spirit's ready to whatever it is. But we're all processing a lot of whatever it is right now. Every single one of us. How many billions of people? 7 billion? 9 billion? What are we up to now? I think it's 7 around the world. We're all dealing with really intense stuff right now. And I think it's important to build up your resilience, especially your visibility resilience. And especially right now, because we don't know what the future is going to bring, but we should not let the circumstances dictate our success and our ability to show up. Because I think it's the people who show up as we keep moving forward through tough times are the ones who are going to really build that connection with their audience, you know. But it's also I think important to partner that with self-care and deep self-care. So if you have those days where, you know, like there's some days where I'm just like in the curl it up in the ball with the blanket over my head mode, and I just want to, you know, binge watch HBO stuff. Oh, bless you.
Bless you.
You know, there are some days where I need to be like, you know what, I'm not going to go live in the group today. I just need to do some self-care. I need to get on the bike. I need to do some meditation. And then there's days where, you know, you, because you have that built up resilience when it comes to visibility, you suck it up and you're like, my people need me. I'm going to show up and be there for them. And then I'm going to rock some self-care. You know, I'm not going to just keep motoring. Like I need to make sure that that we're all taking care of ourselves during this time, you know? So, which makes me think, I might add some self-care stuff. Where's my pen?
You know what I was thinking, Sarah? Also, this is teaching me this, the process, like this week is teaching me that, You know, I always come up with these huge ideas. I'm going to go live every day, mm-hmm. you know, or I'm going to post every day. Mm-hmm. I want to do this every day. And it's like, no, you know, no.
Sure, sure.
You know, I don't know. I mean, for, especially for my business, mm-hmm. I'm a life coach. I don't need to post every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or I don't feel like I need to post every day information to somebody. I need to give them time also to, you know, catch up or whatever yeah. it is. If I yeah. post every day also, I put out there that pressure of like, oh my God, I'm so behind on what she's been saying, whatever it is, you know, it's like, you want to catch up on somebody's podcast and, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh wow, I wanted to listen to the, I don't know, how to make my aloe alive. Mm-hmm. And now she's already moved into tropical plants. I don't know. I think an aloe is a tropical plant, but you know what I mean? And yeah. also because me, I'm not in the mood every day. So that's also going to take the pressure away. You know, Kara, you and I are all about the pressure, that pressure that we, you know,
oh, yeah.
have and that we put in ourselves and all that. So that's cool also because I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing it as an exercise to build a consistency every day to do it.
Yeah.
And yet when I'm actually launching whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's not going to be every day. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the lessons of the everyday video missions practice is mm-hmm. giving me that when I actually do it for, you know, my clients, it's yeah. not going to be every day.
Sure. Yeah. So you know, and that's cool. Yeah. And that's the thing with video is you get to decide as well, you know? So when your vulnerabilities are really present, say such as a week that people attack the Capitol building, you know, everyone's feeling more anxious right now. Everyone's feeling vulnerable right now, scared. There's all these big feelings going on. So you get to choose, you know, you get to choose what part of you shows up on camera and that's okay. He wants to play.
He really does. He normally sleeps through all these things, but you're motivating him. He really wants to be part of it.
Hi, bud.
Now he's looking for you. He's looking over there.
Oh my gosh, so cute. But yeah, we get to decide. I think a lot of people feel like scared about video because they feel like, oh my gosh, once I put it out there, it's out there. It's like, well, sort of. I mean, you don't have to put it out there, number one. You can take it down anytime, number two. And it's not like we're not Oprah. So if Oprah puts something out and people are like sharing it and copying it and downloading it and this, that, and the other. Like right now, it's like people are checking it out. This is the format of online business, is they're watching it and perhaps sharing it, maybe commenting. But if it's something where you're like, oh, I'm too vulnerable. I'm not comfortable that I was this vulnerable. You can take it down, you know? That's where you can take some power back when it comes to this stuff, is you get to decide everything, you know? So when it comes to let's get a little existential. Let's start heading into that zone of the stuff that as you guys, I'm so proud of you for doing the sweet sheets. They are not fluff. There's really lots of valuable stuff to find for yourselves in the sweet sheets throughout the program. And it sounds like you guys both had some great discoveries. So let's jump into that territory as far as the biggest discovery that you had, and you're like, So how do I move through that? Or so how do I move past that? Or this is the hurdle, like, what do I do with it? Let's go with Kara. Let's start with you because we've got Puppy over there. We might as well like get you active so Puppy can be active too. And by the way, animals are like so great for videos. So after Hunter passed away, like I've been just in this zone of like wanting animals around me, but I'm not at the point where I want to actually adopt quite yet. Like I just got to get other stuff sorted out. But I've been going to, before we went on lockdown, I went to a few animal stores just to see, just to check out what's there and just, you know, be around some animals. And I was asking about dogs and the, hi puppy. And the owner said that they were sold out. They didn't know when they were going to get more in. It was the same with guinea pigs as well. He said, because people are using them in their, well, number one, COVID, they want company. Number two, YouTube videos.
Really?
Yes. And people with online businesses who are incorporating their animals, either it's like an animal channel, you know, you see like animal Instagram, like a dog Instagram channel or whatever. But animals are like so amazing for videos. When it comes to, it's funny because with filmmaking, there's a rule of like never work with animals or kids. But with this type of stuff, it actually makes you more human when you have your furry friend in there somehow, because they just interject. Like same with kids, or like if a phone rings or something, those spontaneous things that you can't control bring out more of who you are. And people love seeing, do you guys know Mimi Bishop? You do, you don't? So Mimi has been streaming like every day on her profile page, talking about business. And she almost always has her little Shih Tzu with her. And it's so clickable because you're like streaming and you see people who is like, hey there, I'm a business entrepreneur. And then you see a dog and it's like click. So, you know, you don't need to hide the hound, okay? But let's jump in as far as that.
I'll get a cockatoo for when I start.
Cockatoo.
I'll put it here.
Nice. And an eye patch.
Yeah, and I'll start delivering value like that. We'll see how much they pay attention to what I say.
Oh my gosh, so good. Okay. Kara, let's jump in.
Yes.
So, the quick recap that I recall is you have family that you're concerned because of alcoholism in his family history, and you want to talk about that stuff, and you're afraid that people are going to freak out. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of like an overall kind of thing, right? Like the stuff that I want to talk about isn't, the end goal is feel good, but it's a lot of shadow work and it's a lot of sharing my own story. Mm. And it's a lot of challenging the status quo and challenging current narrative and stories, both in the world and in my family. And when I have done this kind of thing before, you know, my sisters were the first ones to post on, and it was all written. My sisters were the first ones to post saying, like, that's totally not true. You know, so it's kind of like this idea of, and I've worked with Steph on this a little bit too, like the idea of being seen and being seen as a contrarian is the wrong word, but as a challenger, as a, you know, as someone who is not playing nice and not doing all the things that we were taught to do as women.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, and I was doing some more thinking about this, and it's funny that Ale had said what she did about makeup, because, you know, historically I've always like put on my makeup and put on my suit, and that was sort of like my shield, right? That was sort of like my wrapper around me that could help like kind of contain me energetically. So for some reason I've had this idea that like, as I'm doing videos, like I need to be in my wrapper, but I'm never in my wrapper. I never bother putting my wrapper on because I'm like home and I got a dog chewing on me and I got a kid calling me every 5 seconds from school with like shit that he forgot. And, you know, like trying to do all of the things for all the people and like putting on my wrapper just doesn't happen. So then I'm like, well, if I don't have on my wrapper, I'm not protected enough to do my work.
Mm, sure.
So I think I just have to sort of figure out how much of my wrapper is necessary, mm-hmm. just as an energetic divide. Like I notice when I do my happy hours and stuff, like I do put my makeup on and it helps me kind of create a little bit of a barrier and have a little bit of a persona is not necessarily the right word, but I think, you know, it's like not just showing up like in your jammies, like this is all of me. Mm-hmm. Which by the way, I did just take my jammies off. So you guys, that's all of me.
I'm wearing my jammy bottoms. So don't worry about it.
I actually just like, I took mine off and I put on dirty clothes that were on the floor. So luckily you can't tell me, but I look a little better. And I'm so glad that this is taped and you're going to like share it with other people that I don't know. I'm like, let me be vulnerable to everyone. So I think like, I'm just sort of playing with that idea of, dude, just relax. of being seen and what my tolerance for vulnerability is right now, especially given all of the things that are going on. And I just feel very raw. So it's like, how much rawer can I get until I'm really doing myself a disservice?
Yeah, I get it. I think when it comes to the raw stuff and what level of raw do you go to and all that jazz, part of it is, well, number one, this may sound weird, but it should be shared based on a strategy. So it's not just you going to, you know, rail against something. Like there are people who make careers about being ranters or about being over like emotional all the time and stuff, but it's like, that's
different. I'm not that girl.
Yeah. So with us, we definitely need to consider like, what benefit is this to my clients, my dream clients, my audience? What is the benefit for them? That definitely needs to be number one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two is when it comes to being very emotional, for me, and this is just like how I approach it, is I would rather show what all that I'm feeling about the world right now, about vulnerability and visibility and all that jazz with all, when you have all the feels, I don't want to be sobbing while I'm talking about that.
Oh, you know? For sure.
Like for me, it's more about, I want to put people in their own hearts and let them bring themselves to the table rather than just seeing me break down because my dad died. Does that make
for
sense?
For sure. Oh no, absolutely. And I mean, and a lot of my stuff isn't, it's emotional on the back end for me, right? Because you're sort of ripping the wound open as you're teaching something. Like I had, like, you know, I realized during my, dude. Maybe I just need him. Maybe you weren't that far off with Laurel and Hardy. I think we found our routine.
Oh my gosh.
He's literally just like, I'm gonna eat you. Like, that's totally cool.
He's like, what delicious. We do now. His name is it Bodie? Rhodey?
Bodie, yeah.
Bodie.
Bodie.
Okay.
B-O-D-E. Oh, yeah, so I find that, you know, a lot, I'm not emotional in the delivery, you know, but it's emotional on the back end because I just ripped something open as I'm teaching on something else. Like generally like my topics, you know, like I was doing archetypes and so I started talking about like the prostitute archetype and how she becomes developed in us. And I like to use my stories as examples because they're very relatable. And if someone has additional questions and, you know, and it's a way to really eliminate shame from the conversation because I'm like, kind of like, well, here's the deal. I'm trying to teach you this thing and you don't have to worry about sort of getting naked because I'll get naked first and I'll show you it's not that scary.
Yeah.
And also there's nothing that you have to compete with or hide.
Sure.
So I guess it's just that, like getting more comfortable getting appropriately naked.
Yeah. It's funny, when I was studying acting in New York, there was this phrase that they used to say to us, which was around acting. They said, acting is standing on stage naked, turning around slowly. When it comes to what we all are doing, as far as putting ourselves out there and being visible, being strong and vulnerable, there is some part of like partial nudity that is really important to embrace, as far as allowing yourself, your quirks, your perspective on things to shine through, you know? When it comes to, again, that level, what level of vulnerability do we go to, and what level of like, this is who I am and this is how I am right now. We are never one thing. We're never in one state for a terribly long time. We also adjust our personalities in modifications depending on who we're talking to. So for example, you on this call with us right now, and Bodhi is like, let's play. And you're like, okay, let's play. But as soon as you get off of this, you're probably like, Bodhi, you know, like you go into, you know, mama dog zone. If we're on the phone with somebody and we're reporting we're trying to work through something technical, I need help. Can you please help me technically? Our energy shifts. The parts of our personality that we show is different than the person when we're hanging out with our best friends, than the person who is mourning a loss, you know? It's different parts of our personality, and we have a remarkable ability to be able to pull ourselves together to get through tough times. So as you're going through this process, I recommend allowing, like, the group is a safe space. If you are caring to test out different zones, you know, feel free. So if you have a day where you wake up and you're like, the blanket's on and you're like, okay, this is video mission number 7. I don't really want to get up further than this, but here we go. This is what you want to know from me. So feel free to allow yourself to experiment. Okay. You don't have to like, okay, get it together. I got to film this video and I got to be positive. You just be yourself in the moment. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, like, let this be the place where you experiment and see where you feel comfortable. You know, find out what is that balance, what version, what parts of me am I comfortable showing, what parts of me are just for me. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. Thank you.
Okay. When it comes to reactions from other people, particularly loved ones, particularly if they have a different perspective than you, and you have stuff that you want to talk about and to, because you feel it will be important for your audience to hear from you about your own journey. there's a variety of ways you can do it. You know, it's, so I held back as an artist for many years because I was afraid my grandparents would disown me. My grandpa was a Anglican Christian bishop.
Ooh.
And my grandma was the wife of an Anglican Christian bishop. I love them dearly, but it was very hard to be an artist and to be an outward artist for several years for me. I finally invited, this was after my grandmother had died, but a stage play of mine was going up in Toronto, and I didn't want to hide it from him. you know, I was like, this is who I am. I kind of got to that place in my life where I was like, you know, like, well, let's see what happens. And I fully expected he would disown me after seeing the play. There was like, I mean, it was a uplifting play for like, it was a woman's journey and told through different parts of herself, but there was also like faking orgasms in it and like for comedy and some language and scenarios that, you know, my grandpa just did not see me that way. And I warned him ahead of time and I was like, grandpa, so when you go see this play, there's going to be some language, there's going to be some stuff in there that may be difficult for you to see. And he's like, oh, I can't believe that. Not you, Sarah. I can't believe there's anything that you would do that would make me uncomfortable. I'm like, so he went to see the play. And afterwards, I was just like ready to hear him say I was going to hell and, you know, all that stuff. And what he said was, it was really good. I loved it. And for the next 3 months, every time he called me, which was often, he would mention orgasms on the call. In some way, shape, or form, he would drop that word. And it was just like, this is unexpected. But having said all that, like I understand so deeply that fear of their reaction. And with you in your case, as you mentioned, like they've already proven that they're going to comment and be dissenters on what you're posting, right?
Yes, they are my trolls.
Okay. So you get to have a choice of like where you post those types of revealing things. So let's say to start off with, as you're navigating putting yourself out there, you have a private group or you have an opt-in or you have some sort of something where they have to sign up for something or they have to get permission in order to view it. If you are feeling fearful of how the family's going to react, you know, you don't have to do it all at once and be like, proclaim, you know,
right.
Take that. You can do it in baby steps. And always, you know, make sure that it is in service of the dream client. So it's never about like getting back at somebody for whatever, you know what I mean? I found for me, it was really good also. I don't know if you've had a talk with your siblings or your family about the nature of what you do, but I found like prepping my grandpa for what was coming was really handy. If he'd just walked in there and didn't know what was coming, I'm sure he would have had a different reaction. So if there's any way that you're able to prep their minds, but yeah, I don't know, I mean, but I don't know the situation. I don't want you to get into any kind of dangerous kind of situation as well. You know?
Yeah, no, they all totally know what I do and they all totally are aware of my writing and stuff like that. And my parents are very supportive, even though, you know, it's not awesome for them. Sure. So it's just a matter of getting through it, really.
Yeah. There's also ways that you can tell the story over time. And so that it's not as much content in a video.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So that it's a softer blow, not a blow, but it's a softer ask for the family. And then as they get more used to this, you should be able to do like more condensed or not condensed, but stuff that is more meaty. You know, because you don't want them you don't want it to spark fights and or whatever. I'm not sure what would happen, you know, with the family, but I understand that thing around wanting the harmony, you know? So just keep taking baby steps. As you go through this process too, you'll really start to see where your voice lies on camera. And once you start to really understand that, like the other stuff won't be as much of a deterrent or any deterrent at all. You may just be like, nope, I'm here to serve people. I'm here to help. This is how I help. Okay. So right. Just be open, stay open to the process as we're going through this. Yeah. Ale.
Can I just 2 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Sarah, well, you're welcome to say, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Sure.
Kara as well. Well, this is what I was thinking. One of the things that I was thinking is there's probably a lot of fear in your siblings and your parents that come up when you talk about your story, especially if it involves them. So if I was like, how I would do it would be like always talk from the willing to create value in my clients and stripping as much as humanly possible from judgment, the story. I mean, because the story is a story.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So, there's no judgment in my story.
Yeah, and then maybe privately to them before or after or however it is, reassure that you know you love them and you know this is just part of the story and that you know there's no blame, there's no guilt, there's no judging, there's no nothing. There's just you know you're just sharing value with other people that you know can benefit. You know we all grow and. You know, kind of tend to their fear, but understand that there's going to be a shitload of fear coming out from their part, you know, and just be mindful of that fear happening and having a lot of empathy for that fear.
Yeah,
you know? What I think.
Yeah, that's a great point. Also another thing, hard. Like, yeah, it ain't easy.
For other people.
Yeah.
Especially when we are more aware than they are. And I don't mean to say, but it's true. I mean, we don't all have the same level of awareness of how our actions, you know, have consequences on other people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're more aware, you know, like as a life coach or as a coach, you know, right. Like you are, and other people are not, you know, unless... You know, you don't give a fuck and then you're like, you know, whatever. But I don't think that's, otherwise you wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah. And I think too, one.
No, for sure. And
go ahead, Kara.
Okay. Oh no, I appreciate your feedback. Absolutely. And I've been really trying when I am delivering information, it is always stripped of any judgment whatsoever and done in the service of a larger teaching. So instead of just being like, you know, here's an interesting tidbit about how totally fucked up my family is. it's like, hey, you know, you might be struggling with this thing. And this is, you know, this is how this thing gets started in our story. And I'll give you an example. So it's more like that. And my parents have been better with it. I'm still just navigating my sister's.
Mm.
I can only imagine that one of your sisters listening would be like, what? That's not true.
Right. Well, and I've learned, so, you know, my sisters and I are just about the same age and we have a huge overlap of Facebook people. So I've learned that Facebook is not my way to communicate because my sisters don't want to share these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like I'm kind of ruining their version of what they've painted for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's really one sister in particular, but so I've realized that I'm better suited to do things in my private things that I'm holding or on Instagram where we have totally separate people,
mm-hmm.
but to try to respect their bounds and bubbles and say, okay, like, you know, if these people want to follow me, like I've got a business page on Facebook, which I don't do much with, but, and I've got the Instagram, like they can find me in these other places and I will respect this mutual ground as kind of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah.
And I think too, there's an important part of this is to acknowledge that this is your perspective on it, you know, because if your sisters come over and it's like, this isn't what happened, you know, you can use that even as a point for the next video. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whatever it is, like, for example, I was doing a live stream with somebody who for a giveaway, and all of a sudden somebody showed up and they started like swearing at us and doing all sorts of stuff. And so I like had to keep blocking various accounts to stop doing that. But I turned that was the first time I'd been trolled, and I turned that into a live stream about trolling.
And oh, right. I saw that.
Handle it, you know? And yeah. So I'm a big fan of taking anything that like could be painful for you or uncomfortable, triggers a thing, is to allow that to turn into a more of a powerful tool that you can share, you know? And even mm-hmm. having frank discussions around, or not discussions, but videos around, you know, different perspectives, I think is especially important right now. We have, you know, the US is so divided and see completely different realities along with other countries, but right now so much in the States. So even using what's happening within your family as a microcosm for what's happening out there, you know, how do we navigate when we have vastly different opinions than other people, you know? I think there's a place to open up so it's not even just necessarily just your perspective, but being open to the process they're going through and feeling mm-hmm. exposed and feeling betrayed or any of that stuff. Okay. There is also like another option, which is that you don't talk about your family. You don't mention that it's my sister and this is my dad and this is, you know, like, unless this is really important to your brand, like there are ways to teach the lesson without sharing your personal story about other people. Like I tend to stay away from any personal stories about other people that are negative in any way for them, because that's just for me. It's like, I'd just rather find another way. I don't like conflict. So I'll find other ways to find my way through and turn it into a teachable. So there is that as well, you know, is the conflict with your family less important than specifically telling their story? Is it possible to shrink the bubble at all so it's just your story? How you dealt, how you coped, not about the behavior that they did or the denials or the this, that, and the other, but that it's just bring it in more so that it's like not causing the conflict the way that naming people or calling them out or anyhow, it's just one of those things. So it's like looking at the conflict that comes versus like the way that you tell your story, the way that you share this information with your people, there could be a way that is causing less conflict for you. Okay. This coming from the person who avoids conflict like crazy. I'll handle it, but I don't like it. So that's just some food for thought. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I try to avoid conflict a lot too, which is why I'm sort of stalled out, because I still can't figure out a way to do this. I mean, it's always told from my perspective without judgment and without calling people out specifically, but it's kind of hard to talk about what it is that you've been taught without implying that someone actually taught that to you.
Yes and no. There may be a way through it. Because Lord knows I've had, you know, my share of negative experiences that led me to be an artist, that led me to focus my business, especially like at the beginning, on visibility, allowing your voice to come through, allowing yourself to shine. I have all sorts of stories about how I got to where I am right now, but I don't talk about a whole lot of them publicly. Occasionally something may come up in a situation like this, but for me, the choice was no, I'm just going to focus on the teachings that I've gotten from it as opposed to the thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's just food for thought, and I'm not saying it's right for you. Just like it is a possible door opening if you don't want to have the conflict the way that you currently do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Ale, you look like you had something to say there.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, I have the same, I don't have the same thing, but I have, you know, I got divorced, right? My first husband, not that I have a second husband, but I consider my boyfriend a husband. I learned a lot. You know, I went through the whole postpartum depression with him. Mm-hmm. And one of his saboteurs is the controller. And as a controller, the controller saboteur, and it's a gremlin that doesn't allow you to see, to be very empathic with people, empathetic.
Sure, yeah.
Or empathic, well, whatever, to have empathy for other people.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like don't understand how other people can get upset by something you say. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out my boyfriend also has his top one saboteur is a controller. And I find it very interesting because the truth is that they're both very similar, but I'm not the same person. Mm. So when I tell the story about the things that I learned, the truth is that my ex-husband never comes up as a bad guy. And I don't come up as the victim either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just the way that I learned to tell my story, I have no idea why. I use the word, my experience about this situation, like even those words, my experience about this situation was, mm-hmm. It only gets out the what helped me grow. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It actually helped me with my boyfriend. Like when I started seeing the similarities between my husband and my boyfriend, I was like, huh, interesting. So maybe this means that it's not that Sam was a fucking son of a bitch. Maybe I was reading this that way. So that it started turning around for me. So that's what I was thinking. I have siblings as well. And probably the experience of one same situation, I have three siblings. You know, one same situation is probably seen completely different by the four of us.
Sure.
Completely different. And, you know, I could tell a lot of stories. Like, I think I do a mix between you and what Sarah does of, like, not even taking, like, my youngest brother deals with addiction. And I would never bring it up.
Yeah, no, right.
I
mean,
I would probably bring up that but from my side of like what it means for me to, you know, have somebody and how we embrace him no matter what, and we love him no matter what, and a whole bunch of things. And at the same time, you know, my stepdad with him was not very kind, but he actually never saw that in his own dad. Mm-hmm. So I would never talk about that part. Because he would be like your sister going like, that's not true. My dad didn't do this or didn't do that. Because the story is remembered completely different from both sides.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought of putting it out there. Like, you know, there may be a spot where, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm sorry. But from a coach's point of view, there's so much juice there that you can actually even have with your sister, so much growth in the relationship with the one sister that's getting more triggered by what you're saying. I don't know. I see it like that. It's like, oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we don't talk to each other.
And we don't what?
We don't talk to each other.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. And it's not that I don't want to talk to her. I've tried, but there's a lot. So as I keep going through and knocking down these walls, it only becomes the juxtaposition more and more and more, which is why I've just sort of gone, okay, I'll just take my whole thing elsewhere.
So
that brings a lot of pain for you as well, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult and
it sucks.
And it just is at this point. Like, you know, I've tried and she is who my ideal client would be.
Of course.
If she got to the point where she wanted to make a change.
Yeah.
In fact, like I was talking to my dad the other day about this and he's like, well, tell me like who your ideal person is. And I started to explain and he goes, well, that sounds awful lot like your sister. Like, why don't you work with your sister? And I was like, well, because my sister actually isn't to the point where she wants to see any of this or make any changes or whatever. Like, she's still like, it's all fine here. It's all fine here. I will just put like vodka in my coffee and tell you that it is all fine here.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just, it's a, you know, I think more than anything, it's just me. And I've really been working on like the thought work on this, unprogramming myself of I don't want to cause waves. I don't want to make people unhappy. Like, because, you know, even as we're talking through all this and you guys are giving me very good feedback and I appreciate it, it's already stuff that I'm doing. So I see now that like, it's all in my head. The problem, girls, is me.
Here, let me add, I know that was a joke, but I'm going to add on to that, which is the problem is the programming, and you already mentioned that word. So here, like, as you're going through the process in here, that's why I'm giving you permission to show up like unapologetically, authentically yourself, say all the shit you want to say. Okay. So if you want to, like, even if any of these prompts, spark something for you that is related to what we've talked about today, have at it. Okay. And if it's something where you're like, you post it and you're like, oh, it's a little too truthful, tag the two of us. We'll have a look. We'll give you a comments, feedback, and you can, you know, delete the post. Okay.
Okay.
When it comes to essentially what we're really going to be honing in on is how you want to show up on camera. So there's kind of two ends of the spectrum, and the two personalities that are coming to my mind right now are Oprah and Brené Brown. So on one hand, you have Oprah who, and I'll go earlier in her career when she started talking about all the things that happened to her and being real specific, naming people, calling them out. And it connected, she was emotional. It connected to people on a deep level. They felt like they knew her more. Now there was a lot of strategy in that because Oprah became this guru at that time. She was untouchable. And this opened up that she was a real person. She's not just a millionaire turning into a billionaire. She's a real person and she's just like you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's definitely strategy in there. She's now become more of a la Brené Brown, where Brené Brown is very much about just teaching the lessons. Here's how you do it. I was scared and this is how I changed it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to this person scared me. And this is how I've internalized it and this is how it comes out. Okay. So as we're going through this process, and I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. It's just, there's different strokes for different folks and how you want to show up in the world. Also keep in mind things around just legally, you want to make sure that you're covered if you're talking about other people and they don't agree with, like they could say it's slander or whatever. So just be mindful of that as well. Okay. But I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. But let's be open to this process and see what comes up. See where you feel most comfortable as we're going through it. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And Ale, for you, what would you like to take away from this call?
Well, I love the whole thing. I don't know, do I have to be specific? I take away, what I take away is there's a fine line between, I'm always trying to come back to the fact that we're learning how to make videos so that we can connect with our client.
Yeah.
And there's always that fine line between the just making the videos, which is the one thing that happens usually to me when I was doing Facebook Lives, is I would always click end and forget the CTA. Mm. Always.
Sure.
It was like, I just spent 10 minutes venting, you know, right, kind right. of like that. And it's like, oh, what was the purpose? So I'm, you know, all the time, the one thing that with every single word that the three of us have said, mm-hmm. the one thing that comes to me is like, you gotta keep focused. Focus on what we want to convey, who we're talking to. It's like, and not, because I talk, you can tell that. I talk. So I can get lost in the talking and then suddenly go like, what am I doing? What is this? What's the whole point of me doing
this? Sure.
You know, and time is not, you know, it's, I don't want to spend hours and hours and hours making videos. And so that's like, ooh, I want to really focus on what's the learning here. What do I want to show? What do I want to tell people? Mm-hmm. And I see, you know, and I love that it's not, that I'm not the only one for which this, it's kind of hard to stay, you know, it's like, okay, I want to keep that in mind all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it happens, you know, I'm not that special snowflake, thank God.
Well, you are special. So definitely,
you're special. I know, but I'm not that special.
You're not snowflake, the snowflake, though.
I'm the only one that's not going to be able to keep on focus for what I want to do and I want to say. But how important that I never paid attention to that much.
Mm.
And now here in Kara is like, you know, yeah, we got to pay attention to that part. Otherwise, it ends up being you're just talking. You're not leading, you're just venting, you're just talking, you're not saying anything, you know, what's my focus? And I don't think I ever went on Facebook with a well thought out specific, this is my goal for this life mm-hmm. that I'm about to press start.
Sure.
It was always more like, oh, today I'm going to talk about water.
Mm-hmm.
So it would end up being a conversation of like, oh yeah, drink water. And it's like, why? What for? What's the point?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it was an oxymoronic example, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, while you're going through the program, feel free to not have that intention yet. Okay. For this week, as you round out this week and next week in particular, like just keep it simple.
But you are asking us to stick to a question, which is the thing that I like. It's helping me stick to the question.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only reason why I can keep it to a minute.
Mm. That's really good to know.
Your video missions are not like, okay, I want to go and do 1 minute shooting. Because sure. I'll be like, I can talk for half an hour.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
So that's something really important for you to put in your back pocket as we're moving through this program, is to know that even if you ask yourself a question, that itself could be a lead for you to open up what you're talking about, you know? So for example, like let's take water. If you ask yourself, why is water the number one self-care habit you should blah blah blah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even if you pose it that way to yourself, as opposed to just like, okay, I'm going to talk about water.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about, the focus. Yeah. You know, it's like, why am I doing this? What is it that I actually want to convey, as opposed to just talk about the weather.
Yeah.
So that's you know what we were talking, you know, I was thinking about that. It's like, oh, you know, we got to keep it, you know.
Yeah. Specificity is what makes videos watchable. The ones that you don't watch, or you like tune in and you're like, oh my God, are the ones that either they're not being specific or they're being extremely specific and they're not your person. So being specific, as we get down the road, this is not now, right now, just do the homework, follow the process. But as we move through like weeks 3 and 4, we're going to start getting more specific about all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to spill the beans, but that is coming. And know that these ahas that both of you are having are just so valuable. They're so valuable. And we'll continue to keep mindful of both of those things as each of your concerns as we're moving forward. Okay. All right. Do you guys have any, we're 15 minutes over, but do you guys have any last follow-up questions or anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Okay, thank you for the time. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Lovely to meet you, Kara.
Yes.
Yay.
Here. Our bodies. My body.
Yes.
Buddies.
Buddies in our pink glasses here. We're matching buddies.
Actually, you were talking. I was like, oh my God, we are a lot more alike than what we already thought from the very beginning.
Well, and that's how it works. When you find, like, I find that I'm instantly drawn to people who are just mirror images of me. I go, oh my God, I love her.
<You're> like,
that's wonderful. I love it. Because that means that you love yourself. I love it. Yeah.
Progress. Progress.
I love that so much. Okay, guys. So as we're moving towards the end of this week, keep doing your work. Finish strong. Next week is going to be a lot of fun. And just know you guys are doing so awesome. Very awesome. Yeah. I'm loving to seeing the progress and the questions and the ahas that you guys have had. So
thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I'll see you soon.
Have a good day.
Okay. Bye. You too. Bye.